tomb was empty, the stone was gone. My Lord came forth at the break of dawn, when the angel rolled that stone away. Hallelujah, I love to say, Christ, my Savior, my sins have been, when the angel rolled that stone away. Hallelujah, what a day.
The gospel lesson comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Listen to the account of that first Easter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, "Why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand once again and let us sing, "Up from the grave he arose." You may be seated. Today we are celebrating Easter, the greatest historical event ever. This is the day that Christ followers hold as the foundational event of our lives. This is the day when we can offer our greatest witness to those who are not Christ followers. This is the day when we celebrate the day that Jesus physically rose from the dead for the one single purpose of defeating the power of sin and death in our lives. Easter, the greatest historical event ever. Because of Jesus, God will hear us when we confess and turn from our sins. Because of Jesus, God will give us new clean hearts that want to love and obey God. Because of Jesus, our lives, our attitudes, our relationships with other people can begin to be changed. Because of Jesus, we can live in a new friendship with God that starts now and continues into eternity after our bodies die. Because of Jesus, our souls can live forever in heaven with God, and it all starts with our acceptance of Jesus. Jesus knew God's plan for his life. Jesus accepted that plan and all that went with it. Jesus knew that his death had to come before his resurrection. And Jesus willingly accepted the pain and the heartbreak in the events that led up to his death. It was not easy for Jesus to do what he did. It was not easy for Jesus to be hated by an entire town. It was not easy for Jesus to be deserted by his dearest friends. It was not easy for Jesus to be nailed to a cross. I thank God every day that Jesus was willing to die for me and to pay the price for my sins. I know that it's only because of Jesus that I have any hope for tomorrow. When Jesus was praying in the garden before he was arrested, he was fighting the biggest battle of his life. Jesus knew that he was about to be turned over to the authorities and be arrested. Jesus knew that people were telling blatant, bald-faced lies about him. He knew the charges were false and simply trumped up against him out of the jealousy and anger of a few religious leaders. Jesus knew that he was about to be silenced because his words and his actions convicted people of their sins and hurt their pride. Jesus knew that those people would not be satisfied until he was dead and silent. Jesus' faith was in God. Jesus' faith in God was the foundation for everything that he did. Jesus turned to his heavenly Father regularly for guidance and comfort. Jesus turned to God for protection and with cries of agony. The very people who Jesus had come to help had turned against him and were out to destroy him. Jesus was left with a choice. He could complete the task that he knew in his heart God gave him to do, or he could avoid some very painful circumstances and death. Jesus did what we all have done. Jesus asked God to take away the suffering he was about to face. Then Jesus went a step further. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." As Jesus waited for an answer to his prayer, he continued to pray more and more earnestly. We know from the Bible that it was through his prayers that Jesus found strength throughout his life and ministry. Prayer was how Jesus talked to God, and it was through prayer that God strengthened Jesus for the tasks ahead. Prayer is where Jesus learned the difference between his own will and God's will. It was in prayer that the struggle of his faith took place. Jesus' obedience to God was not a passive acceptance of circumstances. Jesus is completely God, but he was also completely human. Jesus struggled with his feelings. In the midst of his feelings, Jesus was also completely committed to obeying God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, and with all of his strength. Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. Jesus told the disciples to pray with him in the garden so that God would fortify and strengthen them right along with Jesus. Jesus understands how we feel. Jesus understands the struggles that we go through. Jesus understands and knows how we feel when we pray for something and God chooses to not give us what we pray for. God the Father's answer to Jesus' prayer came with the arrival of the guards. They arrested him. Jesus was sentenced, he was crucified, and Jesus' enemies got the desires of their hearts. Jesus was silenced, and Jesus was dead. That was not the answer to the prayer that the disciples wanted or expected. To all appearances, that was the end of the story. For unbelievers today, death is still the end of the story. But for Christians, for believers, for Christ followers, we know the reality of the resurrection. Jesus did not stay dead.
Amen.
Amen. All of the power of Satan and death could not keep Jesus in the grave. All of the power of the corrupt authorities did not prevent Jesus from completing the mission that God gave him to do. Jesus' enemies were not able to silence Jesus' words or stop his obedience to God. And today, Jesus' words continue to convict people of their sins and hurt their pride. I invite you to listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. I'll be reading from the translation of the Bible called The Message by Eugene Peterson. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20. Listen to this. Let me ask you something profound, yet troubling. If you became believers because you trusted the proclamation that Christ is alive, risen from the dead, how can you let people say there is no such thing as the resurrection? If there's no resurrection, there's no living Christ. And face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we've told you is smoke and mirrors, and everything you've staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. Not only that, but we would be guilty of telling a string of bald-faced lies about God. All these affidavits we've passed on to you verifying that God raised up Christ, sheer fabrications if there's no resurrection. If corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't, because he was indeed dead. And if Christ wasn't raised, then all you're doing is wandering about in the dark as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and resurrection because they're already in their graves. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is, Christ has been raised up. The first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. John 14, 3 is where Jesus promises, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is alive. And through the faith that God gives us, we can receive the promises that come with Jesus' resurrection. There's three promises. First is the promise of God's plan for our lives. That's in Jeremiah 29:11. That's the Old Testament promise. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future. The second promise is the promise that helps us hang in there when things just don't seem to be going right at all, or we don't get the miracle that we want. And that's in Romans 8:28. That's a promise that says we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And the third promise is the promise of God's eternal love for us as individuals. That promise is found in John 3:16. Some of you know it by heart. I invite all of us to say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've never tried to walk with God before and would like God to save your soul, nobody else can help you but Jesus. If you're feeling separated from God, nobody can restore that relationship except Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's in John 14:6. Pray to God. Admit to God that you're a sinner or separated from him, and that only the Lord Jesus can save you and bridge that gap. Pray and tell God that you are willing to turn away from your sin and submit to God. Pray and tell God that you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died and rose again to pay the price for your sins. Pray and ask God to save your soul. And then pray and invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Jesus trusted God with his life. Jesus trusted God with the people who were out to kill him. Jesus trusted God to keep his promises in spite of things and circumstances looking really bad. God still keeps his promises. Jesus did not lose the battle, not with people, not with the devil. Jesus won the victory. And Jesus offers each and every person the same victory. That's what the V in the word alive stands for. V stands for victory. If you take the letter V out of the word alive, what's left? A lie. V stands for victory because Jesus is alive. Easter is the day we say Jesus is alive. It's a promise we stand on. Every day of the year, we have the opportunity to demonstrate to the people around us that Jesus is alive as we work to overcome our sins. If we're not working to overcome our sins with the help of the Holy Spirit, then we're demonstrating something else. We're demonstrating that Jesus is a lie, at least in our lives. Where is the V in your life? Is the V missing? Or do you have the victory over the sins in your life? In spite of the circumstances in our lives, in spite of any heartache or unhappiness or prayers that are not answered in the way we prefer, in spite of how other people act towards us or what they might try to blame us for, are you trusting God's plan for your life to be a plan of love? Are you trusting God to lead you moment by moment and one step at a time? are you allowing God's Holy Spirit to help you turn away from and conquer those sins and shortcomings in your life? Do you have the victory that comes from God through Jesus Christ? Jesus understands the difficulties in our lives. He knows the heartaches. He knows the nightmares that we sometimes struggle through in this world. He understands and knows firsthand how hard it is to trust and believe in God when your world or your faith is shaken to its very foundation. He knows the suffering and pain we feel that are the result of being faithful to living out God's will in our own lives. It's not easy to serve the Lord, but it's worth it. Jesus knows how discouraging and frustrating it is when people don't seem to change very quickly, or sometimes not at all. God still keeps His promises today. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus reassures us in John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And keep praying, because James 5:16 promises that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Today is Easter. Today is more than a day to celebrate new life and new beginnings. We are Easter people. In the midst of your family gatherings today, take time to acknowledge the power of God's presence and love in your heart and in your life. Show God with your attitudes and your words and your life that you trust Him. And walk with Him even as you are waiting to receive the victories of His promises. God's greatest promise is the promise of heaven and eternal life. In John 11:25, before He raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus told Martha, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus says the same thing to us. And the question is there, do you believe this? Let your life be victorious by establishing a regular habit of reading your Bible, being faithful to God's will for your life, and standing on God's promises for you. That's what you do when you believe. Let your victorious life of integrity be strengthened and fortified through prayer, through testing, and even through suffering. Jesus is alive with a capital V. Jesus gives us the victory, and we serve a risen Savior. Live victorious lives every moment. Give the thanks and the glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That's all I have to say about that.